And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Well, I'll be here. I don't know if you'll be on vacation again sometime soon. You seem to go away.
You know, maybe a day here or there. I mean, feel like I've earned it.
Yep.
It's hard to be humble when you know you're good, Greg.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
I was assuming that the entire family was going to be back together. Wiggy had apparently a scheduled day off. And then there's some sort of a controversy that is brewing, it appears, between Ken and Curtis.
Oh, no.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
That you're just rubbing it on your belly button?
I'm like filling my belly button with it. And then I have this patch that goes over my belly button to keep it all in so that it can absorb through my belly button.
I don't think it's osmosis through your skin.
Castor oil, one of the only oils that can fully penetrate.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Give a guy the opportunity to design one play, and he suddenly thinks he's a head coach in college football.
Now.
It's sweet, sweet taste of victory. And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. That you're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill! Greg Hill! Show! All right. What up, what up? Wiggy, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Curtis.
I should be saying welcome back to you, Greg.
Well, I was here yesterday. I was foolish enough to show up yesterday. Curtis, good morning.
Hey, welcome what's back. Happening? How's life?
Should we get right to the controversy? Did you have yesterday as a scheduled day off or not?
The only reason I know I did is because James has no school this week.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to be with James yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, it was during a conversation with Mike Thomas and myself that Ken was there.
Yeah.
But sort of sitting in the corner. So maybe he didn't remember it.
Was he taking notes?
Oh, my God. He was sweating like you at the 5K.
No disrespect to Ken, but often that's his primary responsibility as the brand manager. Somebody says, please take notes on this.
You need a good note taker.
Yeah.
You take a lot of notes.
Oh, yeah.
You have your notebook.
Yeah, I have a bad memory. So you need a good note taker to be like, man, what did we talk about?
Well, great to have everybody back. And great to have the Greg Hill Show family back together.
Oh.
Condolences, coach, on your dogs.
Yeah.
Last
man.
Night.
Damn, they so undisciplined. They run 11 guys off on a punt fake, like a punt team, then run the offense back on. You run the defense back on. They got the ball on their own 20-yard line. What you think they trying to do, fourth and one? Get you to jump off sides. Mm-hmm. And these knuckleheads, what do they do? Jump off sides. And then that was it right then and there. And then the kids running in, the referees running into the kids. It's like, oh, forget about it, man.
Was Parker Jones allowed to fly home with the fellas, or did he have to rent the car?
No, he jumped in the portal as soon as that happened.
I mean, what a jackass. I get it. I spent a lot of time in sports as a young man on the sidelines or on the bench. But get yourself out of the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Way out the way.
would like, go over by, if you could, go over by the Gatorade or something.
Right.
I mean, it's not your, you are not, you're a walk-on
right.
who hasn't played a single down in college football, and you are responsible for the penalty.
Right.
Which, if, I mean, listen.
Your offense stunk anyways, but at least you would have had the ball.
But you would have been.
On the 11-yard line.
Well, you score a touchdown on that. You're up, you would have been up 7-0 as opposed to up 3-0. I mean,
yeah.
Could change the way the game goes.
It definitely could have, because them moving the ball back to whatever it was, the 25-yard line at that point, their offense wasn't doing anything. At least you have an opportunity. Because this game, and my boys and I were watching the game, I say it's going to come down to which defense creates a turnover where the quarterback doesn't have to do anything crazy, because neither quarterback looked spectacular.
Yeah.
Well, Curtis was on it earlier. That Notre Dame team is a pretty good football team.
Unfortunately.
I have to say it, too. I don't like Notre Dame. I'll never root for them. But Marcus Freeman is a guy that's pretty easy to get behind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a guy that replaced, you know, Brian Kelly, a total dink. Everybody thought he'd be one and done, failure. And he has Notre Dame in a place that Brian Kelly could have hoped to. So,
yeah, we don't like Marcus Freeman in our household.
Really?
No.
Oh, because Mrs. Wiggins loves
yeah,
him.
Oh, yeah. We don't like him
really?
In our household.
Oh, big time.
It was a very, very torn household.
Oh, I didn't realize
it's
that.
A Georgia alum versus, you know, one of her hall passes.
Oh,
and
I
beat
real, oh,
and his pants was mad tight,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he looked good last night.
Seriously, bro?
Did you cover her eyes every time he came on?
She's a grown woman. She can look.
Yeah.
I mean, I look every time Cardi B comes on.
Yeah, that's true. And there was a BC great on the sideline, too, with Molly McGrath. She had the Notre Dame sideline.
All right.
And our guy Sean McDonough did a great job.
Yeah. Sean McDonough did do a great job with that Sugar Bowl.
Anybody really else did, think so. It was kind of bad taste to play that game so quickly?
Didn't bother me, because I feel like the intent of a terrorist act is to create terror and to scare everybody into doing things that they would normally do. So I didn't mind it, but I do think that they probably ought to make some kind of concession when it comes to giving them, extra day or two to get ready, because they were delayed. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they gave them, they postponed it to what,
less than 24 hours.
Yeah, less than 24 hours. So I think by that time, both teams are down there and they're prepared.
No, I mean, going forward.
Oh, going forward.
I mean, you have one team that's at a disadvantage going forward, because they... You know, they're going to have less.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they got to fly back last night or fly back today or whatever. And I mean,
because next week's game is what? Next Friday?
Thursday. And it's against
Thursday?
Penn State. So Penn State would have had the advantage anyway, because they won on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's still a week. Still a week.
I guess, I mean, it might matter even more, because Penn State has so much more time than Notre Dame did. Yeah. But I thought, Curtis, I was talking about this yesterday. I was more infuriated with people that were like, how can you postpone this game? You're letting the terrorists win. And it's like, all right, it's less than 24 hours, and you got to look yourself in the mirror and remember that there is so much more. There was no way they would have been able to play that game that evening. But at the same time, playing that game, I was hoping in the beginning there was going to be more emphasis on lives lost. And I get it. It's college football. You want to keep it upbeat and stuff. But it was like, the fun Baton Rouge music, like, coming back from
this was going to be, I was considering this for a lead, but I can pivot to something else and we can talk about it now. I think it's bizarre that ESPN did not show the moment of silence and did not show the national anthem.
Yep.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
So, and... Like, I get it. You have your pregame stuff scheduled or whatever, but it's a nationally televised bowl game on the day after a terrorist attack that killed 15 people. And, what are you afraid of? Like, what?
I don't know. That was weird.
Do
they normally show the national anthem?
Well, I mean, you guys remember, I mean, it's famous because of how amazing the people in Boston were. NBC with Doc Emmerich did a spectacular job on that Wednesday night first Boston sporting event post the marathon bombing attacks.
Arguably the greatest Star-Spangled Banner performance ever in the history of sports.
Second to Carl Lewis. His was really spectacular.
and Roseanne. Fergie. Don't forget Roseanne.
Yeah, Roseanne's was good.
Major League Baseball, Roseanne Barr.
Don't mention Roseanne to Tom Warner. but it was screaming for that kind of coverage. And it was totally absent.
Yeah. Sean McDonough, I think, second half, coming back from a break, addressed what happened, and he did a really good job with it. But it
I feel like they addressed it more on the
pregame.
What was the games? I feel like I was watching
when they did College Game Day. They had Laura Rutledge, who was in the stadium alone, and they kept going to her.
I feel like it was more in the Oregon-Ohio State game where they talked about a lot
correct.
More.
Yeah. Correct, because they kept going to Laura, who did a great job as well, and she was on CNN. She was doing everything. But it was weird to me with the music, this very upbeat music, to then just go to kind of B-roll of the moment of silence of people just standing in the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Call me old. Call me old-fashioned, as you often do, but why? What is wrong with when you live in a country and there's a national anthem and you're trying to bring everybody together over an event that I think most people find horrendous and detestful? If that's a word, and what's wrong with playing the entire national anthem?
Even for selfish purposes, that would have been a much watched event on live TV. Just like the night that the Bruins fans sung the anthem, that was viral in minutes.
Yeah.
This would have brought a lot of people that may not have been A, aware that the game was moved to 4 o'clock, or B, that the game was even being played at all to the broadcast.
Yeah. No, it was bothersome to me.
Well, and that's the thing. Them postponing it, I understand it, but, there are going to be people don't let these terrorists shake the country, and get us out of our routine. So I didn't have a problem if they would have played it the night before. I didn't have a problem with them postponing it, because both teams were down there kind of ready to go either way. And I don't think it was crazy. Like you said, it was less than 24 hours, but can't let some psychopath deter us from how we live.
Yep. All right. Well, Does something smell like castor oil around here?
Oh, man.
Okay, can we get to that?
I can't believe this was so...
For some reason, I smell castor oil.
It has no smell.
Fill me in on this one.
It has zero smell.
No, it has no smell at all, but fill me in.
Fill you in.
Yes.
Well, fill your button.
We work with an absolute lunatic who was told by the TikTok that if she pours castor oil into her navel, into her belly button region at night when going to bed and lets it sit there, it will somehow seep through her skin into her stomach and remove all toxins from her body. And she's following along like a sheep and doing it.
Wow.
That's what you missed yesterday.
Are we done navel gazing?
And I just do a little patch. I know people that do a full pack where it covers your entire stomach.
People define how many people do you know? Is it one?
Quite a few.
Do you know them or are they your friend on
TikTok?
They're
on TikTok.
Yeah, I see them on TikTok.
Do you use the same castor oil to bless your house?
So you said that before we got on air. I didn't know that castor oil used to bless.
Very, very big, especially in the black households in the South.
Okay.
My wife,
to bless your house?
With the castor oil. You also put it on your feet and then put socks on?
I didn't know.
There's a whole bunch of remedies for it.
Okay.
You got to Google Black Southern Castor Oil Remedies.
Okay.
Really?
I know it helps with hair growth, to put on your eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can it be used as a sauce? Could you use it as a sauce?
I don't think so. Well, you said people used to drink it, so.
Yeah, people did. When I was young, my mom used to make me drink castor oil.
You can use it to grease the scalp.
Disgusting. Yeah. All right. Well, you learn something every day.
Didn't know you're doing that.
This is Mark from Medford. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Greg?
Happy New Year.
Of course, ESPN is not going to show the moment of silence or the national anthem. They're owned by woke Disney, probably the wokest corporation in the world.
Well, I mean, Mark, have you seen NBC or MSNBC? They did it in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're talking Disney. Yeah. Just look at the stuff they put in their movie.
Right.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
Look at NBC. I mean
it's the national anthem.
I always thought they played the national anthem regardless anyways of big events.
I thought they did too. But
The Super Bowl, I always thought college football, the playoffs. I always thought the national anthem was something.
They should. All right. We have a lot to get to on a Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, Gerard. Oh, yeah.
Pretty good interview with him on Monday.
Was it?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah, we had some good stuff
with
him.
Yeah.
I thought he sounded sad.
Yes.
Well, I mean, after getting mollywopped by
the
child.
48 hours later, and he's gotten mollywopped before and not sounded that.
I don't know about this. I mean, I think we might have talked about it. Is like, we had a conversation here before one of the worst losses. Like, that was arguably...
How do you mess up a benching? I don't get it.
Yeah, that one was strange.
We have a lot to get to because it sounds like, based on what Alex Van Pelt said yesterday, that Drake May is going to be the starter. So we have a lot to get to. And I think we're all going to the game, or most of us are going to the game on Sunday.
Can't wait.
And that really kind of shows our value here at Odyssey is we get this game when it comes to the suite, the WEEI suite. We
get to see Joe Milton play.
They save the best game for us, yes. Really.
Mitch Trubisky, a hot ticket.
When you talk about a meaningful game, when you talk about a tough ticket to get, the fact that we're all going to be in the suite Sunday is, I just really appreciate what they do for us around here.
But free food?
Huh? Yeah, food.
Nice.
Yeah, food. Yeah.
Not like the show's really overperforming other areas.
Have they said, has it leaked out that Josh Allen is not playing or is
he
playing?
Start.
I think he's going to start.
Okay.
He's going
to
start.
Good. We want him to start. Yeah. Need that first overall pick.
There is nothing, I would suggest there is nothing that is more on brand for the 2024 New England Patriots than Drake May to start this game and to get hurt, and then for the Patriots to somehow go on and win the game without him. There is nothing that would be more on brand.
Well, that's how they beat the Jets. We forget Jacoby Brissett came in and won that game. Unbelievable. They're totally winning Sunday. I believe it 1,000%.
I hope not. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on a Friday. And that includes our leads coming up in just about 10 minutes or thereabouts. And then they set it at 7. That is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. We will definitely discuss what DeMarcus Covington said to prove that there is no beef between he and Keon White. There was turkey. There's no beef, but there's turkey. So we'll get to that. It's a Patriots Friday, so Jelani Tavai will be on the show one more time this season at 7:20. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. Oh, and new year, new feature for you coming up at 8:45 this morning. It's called the Jackson 5.
Ooh.
All right. From our guy Jackson.
Love
so
it.
Somebody said he like got severe bruise. I wasn't here during the holidays, but I heard there was something he fell and
He fell in the shower at some point.
Oh, right. No.
Really?
Did not know that.
Oh.
He didn't say anything about it.
That is...
I don't know where. Somebody mentioned that to me yesterday on social media and said I had to ask Jackson.
Yeah, he's giving a thumbs up in the back.
Oh,
so.
All right. Well, we'll have to find out about that at 8:45 when he joins us for the Jackson 5.
The best moment of Jackson on the show was actually Courtney's reaction to Jackson saying that the wedding date, quote, snuck up on him.
I mean, that was shocking. Yeah. I'm still not over it. It's something I think about quite often.
Jackson was trying yesterday, Shine, behind your back to start some controversy with your proposal or something. Did that come up while we were gone?
I think it came up New Year's Eve morning.
Oh, okay.
While I was under the influence of heavy cold COVID. Drugs and medication.
Is there some sort of news or something?
Yeah, did you propose?
Okay. What was the topic of discussion about?
I think when I was going to propose, in 2025.
Okay. Are you talking about that publicly?
Or I've talked about it publicly on the show before.
Well, I didn't know that you had acknowledged. And it, oftentimes one wants to keep that a secret.
Yes.
So I didn't know.
Yeah, here's the thing, Greg. Like, she doesn't listen very often, ever. So. Okay. I don't have to worry about
it. None of her friends listen. She doesn't know anybody who listens to the show. I mean, that's
A lot of her family does, but they're not going to just go and be like, "Yeah, I'm going to go tell her."
Okay, all right. So you can.
They're good at keeping secrets.
So we can say virtually anything,
right?
Yeah,
like you could, for instance, if you had purchased a ring that was cubic zirconia, you could share that on the show, and she would have no idea.
Yes, I didn't do that, but
which
it's
not about that.
You can. All right. Well, do you want advice? Like I am. I'm a romantic at heart. If you'd like any kind of advice at any point this morning on the proposal process.
All right. You know, Greg, I appreciate
that. Are you planning
on
doing it on the Jumbotron at the game on Sunday, for instance?
I can assure you that is the last thing I would do.
I'd love a good Jumbotron engagement.
Oh, the best.
If I did that, I would be dead.
Could you imagine that's the game you get proposed at?
I would pass away if we were up in that suite and he got down on a knee.
There should be a good 10 to 20 people there to see it if you do it on Sunday.
I looked it up. You can get tickets starting at $40.
All right. That's excellent.
Yeah.
You should wait until the fire mayo chants die down and then propose to Lauren on the field on Sunday. All right. Anyway, we have a lot to get to on today's show, including Courtney and what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics pull off a close win in Minnesota, 118-115. The final without Jaylen Brown or Kristaps Porzingis. Anthony Edwards had a chance to win it or tie it with 3.1 left in the fourth to send it to overtime. His three boinked, hit the rim, fell off. Jason Tatum had a hell of a game. He had 33 points. Well, Derek White, too, 26 for D-White.
Yeah, I'm glad they let Anthony Edwards shoot it because I think at that point he was like 2-for-9 from three-point line. He couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. But
and Tatum had a hell of a three earlier in the game.
Tatum? I mean, he's been balls out all season long, but D-White played great.
How does the Greek Freak have 300,000 more All-Star votes than Jason Tatum?
Wasn't that the... That's a great question. I think that was the fan voting, though.
Right.
Right, so I think it's just,
the international vote.
Who else would be voting?
Oh, I don't know. I thought because they had showed and they had talked about coaches' votes or whatever, so I mean...
Wiggy's referring to mail-in ballots. There's a lot of those coming for this election.
I don't think there's 300,000 coaches voting.
Yeah, but don't you think that the fans, just look at the Greek Freak.
A lot of people are doing the mail-in NBA All-Star ballots because of the bird flu.
Right.
That pandemic that's coming.
I think Dominion's got it.
I think it's, a lot of people know, you say international
votes? Well, I think that Giannis has a lot more fans worldwide than probably Tatum.
And I would say Giannis is probably the face of the league.
And Jaylen Brown under 500,000.
Yeah, he was way down there.
Elsewhere in the league, reports are that Jimmy Butler has told Miami he wants a trade. Butler reportedly doesn't have a list of destinations he wants to go to. He just does not want to be in Miami.
He'd go anywhere now. At the beginning, he had like four teams he was only going to. Now it's like, send me anywhere.
Yeah. The Bruins fell to the Rangers, ending New York's four-game losing streak.
They cannot put the puck in the net.
No.
And Mike Milbury talked about this on this very show yesterday.
Yep.
Shot selection. They just cannot put the puck in the net. It was so frustrating last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Razor was on yesterday on this radio station talking about how they are definitely a playoff team, and I hope he's right.
Yeah, they're a playoff team, but how far are they going to go in the playoffs? They're going to be one and done?
Also, those two goals you gave up in the first period, just the defensive guffaws all over the place.
Can't give up a two-on-one.
Elias Lindholm had the sole goal for the Bees while Jeremy Swayman was in goal. He had 25 saves in the loss. We have the final team locked in for the college football playoff semifinals. Notre Dame took care of Georgia last night in the postponed Sugar Bowl. 23-10 was the final. And it's the final week of the NFL regular season for the Bats. They have the Bills at Gillette on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff. In citrusy, sweet, and now on sale, fresh Sumo mandarins at Shaw's and Star Market. Pick up Sumo citrus mandarins for only $1.97 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 5 pounds per customer. Delicious Sumo mandarins. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
As long as you are talking about fruit, do you know what I became addicted to in Costa Rica?
Ooh, I do not.
Papaya.
Wow.
Fresh papaya. You have not lived. And the papaya hits different down there.
Does it? Okay.
It hits different. It's way sweeter than the papaya here.
Ooh.
Every morning, because I've been struggling a little bit with being regular. I don't know if I shared the result of what happened to me after I was in the hospital shortly before break.
Oh, gosh, no.
The papaya, it goes right through you.
Uh-huh.
I got to tell you. And it's delicious on the way in, and it ends up.
All right, it's delicious on the way out.
So anyway, give a good papaya a try if you have an opportunity.
I haven't had much papaya, so I've got to tell you a shot now.
I think you're describing poop papaya.
It hits. Curtis has the weather.
Greg, I don't know if Scheim or who was in for me yesterday got this on the news, but polar vortex is heading here.
Yep.
If you're curious, a polar vortex is a large pocket of cold air that swirls in place over both the North and South Poles. And it will be here next week as we will not get out of the 20s for the duration of the week. But right now it's 35 and it feels like 14 in Boston.
Well, starting 2025 off with a polar vortex, according to our chief weather smoke, Chris Curtis, and certainly is cold this morning. If you have yet to step outside, then be prepared for it. But it happens every January or most January, so I won't whine about it. We have a lot to get to on the final Patriots Friday of this season, thankfully, and that includes Jelani Tavai, who will join us one more time at about 7:20 on this morning's show. Before that, though, we will get to They Said It coming up at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And right now, Shime, let's get right to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Yes, it is, Greg.
Stranglehold, I believe.
That is correct, because the New England Patriots need to have a stranglehold on that number one overall pick.
Okay, I like it. Lead time. Leads brought to you by Subaru of New England. Shime, good morning and hello.
Good morning, Greg. So we've talked a lot about Gerard Mayo's job as an NFL head coach. I know you are very much in favor of bringing in a guy like Mike Vrabel. Well, I want to bring to the table one example of a guy who has had a lot of success in his first couple years of coaching. That would be Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. I don't know if you saw this. The NFL released some more hot mic of Kevin O'Connell. It's kind of been a bit of a thing so far the last few weeks. They just kind of released like a segment of hot mic from Kevin O'Connell. And this is what he sounds like talking to his player, which I don't know if you particularly like, Greg, but it is kind of the way of the new NFL head coach. Here was Kevin O'Connell talking to Sam Darnold over the headset.
All right, Sam, hey, step away for a sec. Hey, so you're playing your absolute off. If we're smart right here, get these guys, walk into this huddle, tell them it's about execution, and let's put these guys away right now. All right? Physicality, ball security, finish. You keep making great decisions, man. You're balling. So freaking proud of you, man.
And that's the kind of coach that's having a lot of success in today's NFL. And as much as you may dislike it, like, that's what is working.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Minnesota Vikings are arguably the biggest surprise of the NFL season, have the chance to be the NFC's number one seed if they beat the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. And Kevin O'Connell has resurrected a person that no one thought would be a starting NFL QB ever again.
Are you saying the Patriots should hire Jack Handy?
No, I'm just saying that I think the Crafts thought this is what Gerard Mayo was. He is not. That is not who he is. If you're going to find a guy like this, it needs to be a guy who understands the quarterback. That's clearly what this is. It's a guy who was a quarterback, was a backup quarterback, backed up Tom Brady here in New England, and understands the mentality of a quarterback, but can also be their buddy-buddy and really kind of send them to a new level. And that's exactly what he's done with Sam Darnold.
I think we can do it technically. I'd like to be able to do that for Curtis during the show. Like, every time Curtis is about to say something, if I could be in his headset saying, go get him, you're killing
it. Yeah.
You are absolute, buddy, I got to tell you something. You are spot on with that take.
Don't even listen to Shine. Keep trucking.
I think they also thought that when it came to in-game coaching, that Gerard Mayo was going to know something about what he was doing. But unfortunately, I'm not sure that he does.
Well, I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday, and you going down the road, because everybody's bringing up Vrabel, and I think Jones was on it, completely going in a direction that has nothing to do with any of Bill or Patriots kind of...
Why do you have to do that?
Well, I think because I think he wants, and this is the, I'm just basing what I hear Jones talking about him. So I'm thinking about this. There has to be something completely different, a whole new. This guy has no relationship to the Patriots organization in any way. Whoever this new coach is, like a Ben Johnson.
Like Ben Johnson or somebody. I get that. Like I don't understand what Mike Vrabel's association with the New England Patriots, what part of that is a negative? Like,
I don't think it's a negative, but
I don't think there is either, and I don't think the Crafts want to go outside of the trust tree.
Well, and that's what Jones was saying. Maybe it's time that they go outside of the Belichick tree and go in a direction that...
But Vrabel's not, just like Kevin O'Connell, I wouldn't say is a Belichick tree.
No.
Mike Vrabel never coached on his staff.
They were not very friendly on field post-Vrabel victory at Gillette Stadium.
Right, and I would say Gerard Mayo exited the trust tree about October of last year.
No, I'm not saying Vrabel is, but like a completely Ben Johnson type of that has... no connection at all. Didn't play for Bill. You know, it's just like somebody that has come from a whole new system. That's what they were saying. And that had me thinking a little bit.
But it seems like you have pivoted a little bit since I left. Mm-hmm. Like, do you no longer believe that Gerard Mayo is the guy?
No, I heard you guys talking with Billy O yesterday. I still believe you can't, you know, like you give him one more year.
Oh, God. Why would you give him one more year? He has shown you, and he's a very nice man. I always say that. Very nice man. Loved him as a player. Mm-hmm. But why would you give him another year? You're going to be another year behind.
Right.
When it comes to a rebuild.
Okay.
And you're not certain that he's the guy. Are you 100% certain that he is going to be a great head coach?
No.
In the end? Okay.
No.
So... stop it with this.
But what if you keep him for another year, see what he can do with two different coordinators? Like, you bring in two coordinators who clearly have more...
Who wants to come work for a guy who's, first and foremost, maybe losing his job,
right?
Who's on the hot seat. Secondly, that doesn't appear from the outside to be able to manage everything associated with being a head coach in the NFL. It's a very difficult job. I get that. There's a million things you got to deal with. But he's just over his skis.
Like right, but the Crafts wanted...
an expression that's appropriate for this time. He's way over his skis.
And the Patriots, if they did that, would go from Josh McDaniels the next year to Patricia and Judge, the next year to Bill O'Brien, the next year to Van Pelt, the next year to a new OC, and then when that coach fails, they'll have their sixth offensive coordinator in 6 years, which has to be an NFL record.
Right, but I think the question becomes, if you go to Vrabel, why did they go away from Bill? Because they felt like Bill was set in his ways and wasn't going to back down.
Because they had the worst roster in the NFL, and he wouldn't give up that ability.
And they went to Gerard because they felt like Gerard was somebody that would be a yes coach. Well,
they went away from Bill because they wanted to seize control of their franchise.
Get rid of the silos.
I don't know if you know Mike Vrabel.
It was working pretty well when the control was his.
Well, my point is, I don't know if you know Vrabel. Vrabel ain't taking a backseat to nobody.
Right. So
I don't know how much that's going to work when it didn't work with Bill.
Correct.
It did work with Bill. When you lost Tom Brady, it didn't work with Bill as well as it did.
Right, but Bill...
And Curtis points that out all the time.
Right, but Bill, I guess, Greg, to make my point, Bill had already won six championships. If it doesn't work with Vrabel, who has no championships under his belt as a coach for your organization, doesn't it become a little bit of kind of bumping heads and you get like later Bill?
All right, Shime, good lead. We know who you want as the next head coach of the New England Patriots. We will get to the rest of the leads next. Shime, absolute banger on Friday. A Patriots Friday, no less. And it is the final one of the season. Mercy. We're all screaming mercy when it comes to this New England Patriots season, and Jelani Tavai will join us one more time in about half an hour, but we have leads left. Curtis is back. How was everything? Christmas? James enjoy his second Christmas?
I think this is number three.
Oh, number three. Okay.
Yeah. He loved it. I have to say, Arizona could deal without it. Not a lot there.
I didn't realize you went to Arizona.
Yeah, went out there, and James, you know, we had the pool occasionally, which was nice, was in, like, every children's museum imaginable, and I kind of need the ocean. The desert,
I'm
not for me.
I have I've been there once for a, I went to a Super Bowl or two there. But I've also been there for a golf trip with the fellas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're going to go there and drink and golf with buddies, that's a totally great spot to do it.
I played Greyhawk. Is that the TPC club there with the island green shime? I think it's Greyhawk. Anyway,
that's what you are.
Yeah. we're glad to have you back.
It's great to be here, and I want to begin 2025 with a compliment to Bill Belichick.
Oh.
This was the line of the early 2025 year when he joined the Pat McAfee show and finally and at last mocked the Kraft paid and bought Dynasty docuseries.
There's shots from Do Your Job 1, Do Your Job 2, Do Your Job 3. I don't know how many of those documentaries we have, but it's the only time we've got to see
them. There's only one, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. Anyways, there needs to be Do Your Job 2. But
the other documentary, as you remember, is The Roast. I wouldn't count that one.
Excellent. And it strikes me today, Greg, as someone who has not thought the Patriots were going to move on from Mayo, but it's that bad. Gerard Mayo today is the modern-day Mo Lewis. Robert Kraft is Bledsoe. And what Mayo did this year was not his fault entirely. Mitch has a graphic about Pro Bowlers drafted from 2014 through the 2023 draft. Bill Belichick's final draft. They are dead last.
Dead last, yeah.
3.3% with... Wow. The greatest coach in the history of the sport.
Right.
That's how bad the roster was.
And I bet you a couple of those Pro Bowlers were special teamers.
Matthew Slater every year.
Right.
So what it brings me to is Mayo was not going to get fired, but he has been awful at the things he was expected to be good at from the beginning. Messaging in the media has been an F. The defense getting worse, F. That's all. It's okay. Robert Kraft wanted him to be successful. It's just failing. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for a fresh start earlier than anticipated because it's just not working, and it's now clear for everyone to see.
Is that position adjusted for Brendan Schooler? would they move up?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Because I think maybe what the last positional player that was a true, like, Pro Bowler other than a special teamer, wasn't it? Mac Jones?
Yeah, and he was an alternate.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you who was the last.
Steph Gilmore, maybe?
No, he wasn't drafted by the Patriots.
Oh, that's true.
No, I'm just, I wonder, who was their last, like, Pro Bowl non-alternate, positionally-wise?
Yeah. All right, would it be Edelman? I don't know.
Great lead. So you're with me.
I am.
It's time for a change.
Yeah. Sadly.
Unfortunately. Hello, Courtney.
Nice guy.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Since the Patriots stink, Bruins stink, I'm going to do a positive Celtics lead because obviously they're cruising this season so far. And they were cruising last night. I mean, it was a close one, but it was without Jaylen Brown or Kristaps Porzingis. Jason Tatum has been outstanding this season so far, but Mark D'Amico, who works for the Celtics, had a great tweet that's comparing this season to last season. I brought it up at the end of the show yesterday, but I didn't go into detail, and I want to now, because through 33 games, now this was yesterday, now they're through 34, this season, the Celtics are 24-9. They're now 25-9. Rarely at full health. We've had a rare game where we're at full strength this year with the Celtics. The Celtics threw 33 games last season with excellent health, 26-7.
Wow.
When you compare those two seasons and how the Celtics team has been health-wise, mm-hmm. it's pretty remarkable. And I think that with all of the negatives around Boston sports, it's good that we have the Celtics team as a light, because it's looking pretty dark everywhere else. So Celtics repeating just looks better and better as the season continues.
And they got a nice, it's not a nice run, but it's against, you know, you're on the road against last night against, you know, four really good teams. You got Houston, they have then Oklahoma City and Denver. So,
and I would say Mark D'Amico, who's paid by the Celtics, nice guy, I'm sure, didn't mention the Celtics have the 23rd toughest schedule so far this year in the NBA.
Oh.
They played a lot of bad teams to this point.
Well,
all right, Courtney, thank you very much. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So there's been a lot of chatter going on about the game on Sunday. So I'm going to kind of put everybody at to ease and say, I heard Billy O, you asked him about this, what he would do. Sit Drake, man. That's it. Sit him. Sit Drake.
Bill O'Brien disagrees.
Yeah, I know he disagrees, and I get it because I understand where he's coming from. It does have this look in the locker room like, hey, we are tanking to try to keep that number one position for the number one overall pick. But guess what? Half the guys on this roster probably won't even be here next year. So what the hell do you even have to, you know, say, hey, this is the way we're doing things?
I was all over this yesterday, and people on Twitch, like normal, were calling me an idiot. But why risk the kid getting hurt, and why try to win the football game? Like, I'm sorry, I know it's a loser attitude. Mm-hmm.
Because you can't say it really what you're doing publicly.
Yeah, but that's okay. You can sit him and say you're worried about him, you know, you're worried about his health, or just sit him. Like,
yeah, but I'm kind of limited at practice as it is. So. Yeah.
But I'm not worried about him getting hurt. I'm worried about them winning the football game.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Like, I'm not worried about if Josh Allen was playing the whole game. All right, I got no problems with that. But I don't trust that Josh Allen's going to play the whole game and Drake May is going to give you the best chance to win.
Yeah,
play the kid Joe Milton, and he's going to struggle because it'll be his first game. He's a rookie. And that gives you a chance at you winning the game drastically.
So
drops
Wiggy says sit Drake May.
Sit him.
On Sunday.
You need that number one overall pick.
All right, thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
It appears that WNBA All-Star Angel Reese has left social media, all social media platforms.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this hurt for us.
She posted a photo of herself on New Year's Eve, which if you're watching the show on Twitch or YouTube, you can now see.
Looking good.
And you should watch the show on Twitch or on YouTube every day. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI. And I don't know if it was the backlash, I don't know if there were those who were critical, they often are.
They always are.
About me, about my whether I dye my hair, about how many chins I have, whatever. But Angel Reese, unfortunately, shared this photo of herself, not wearing very much. And now she has left social media. I don't know if it's for good or not.
It's crazy because she deleted her Instagram, but she's still on Twitter or X. And I think X is a way worse platform when it comes to negativity. Yeah. It's just like we've been saying it forever. Her comment section is like the dirtiest, grossest, most hateful place in the world. So I don't blame her. She's got her podcast. Right. She's doing fine.
And she probably doesn't post that much on Twitter when it comes to pitches. But people generally get on her because she is somebody that is proud of her, you know, physical appearance.
As she should be.
Right? No problem with that. She likes to dress in a way where she wants to look good and appealing. And the problem is that, you know, she'll say some things on the, like, for, like, her basketball play and that kind of thing. People don't like that. Then they see her dressed like this, and then it's the person that she's tied to when it's Caitlin Clark, and Caitlin Clark is, she don't dress like this. Mm-hmm. Caitlin don't, you know. And so one's viewed as, oh, look at the other one. Why can't you have this good look, being wholesome? Caitlin don't dress like this and blah, blah, blah. So she's probably dealing with all that nonsense.
Most shocking.
But is it nonsense if they're really different in those ways?
No, but it is, because I think a lot of women, you know, especially if they're proud of their appearance, so what if they dress?
No, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying that they're different in how they're covered because they're different in how they act.
Well, I think it's more about this hair and her hate is because of her appearance. And so it's like...
Well, I think there were some who felt like she was being hypocritical because she had said, don't sexualize me. And then... You know, here you are posting this, and there's
what's that? Yeah, that's
well, no, I mean,
that's
I think,
like saying a woman, oh, you deserved what happened because you was wearing that.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
like stop.
Like, I don't think that the media should be sexualizing her, or people should be jumping to the way in which they describe her. She can dress however she wants.
Right,
yeah. She's wearing more than a bathing suit in this. Right. Like, give her a break.
The most shocking thing to me was I almost wore the same thing on New Year's Eve.
Right. If you can do it, flaunt it.
Considering that same outfit,
that would have been good.
All right, well, we got to take a break. Those are the leads. We are going to get to they said. It and what DeMarcus Covington said to prove that there is no beef between he and Keon White coming up next.